Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 8, day 3 of our study of the book of Exodus. I'm your host Darren Hibbs, and today we're looking at Exodus chapter 31. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. Today we're looking at Exodus 31. We're going to look at the craftsman that the Lord specifically chose to build everything that he's listed here so far. I find this really fascinating that the Lord actually chose and gave the talents to this person. I think it has incredible implications to us today. But before we jump into that, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your word has to say to us today, God? Speak to us. Come and touch us and fill us with the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, with that, let's jump into God's word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Exodus chapter 31, starting in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for the work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the Ark of the Covenant law with the atonement cover on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all of its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and all the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when they serve as priests, and the anointing oil and fragrant incense for the holy place, there to make them just as I have commanded you." I love this passage. The Lord is saying, look, I've given these two men the ability, the skill to do these things well. He didn't say, listen, Bezalel and Aholiab have developed the skills. He says, I've given them the skills. Now, I'm sure there's development involved. I'm sure Bezalel and Aholiab just didn't wake up one day and say, hey, I know how to do all of these things. But very often when you see people that are skilled like this, when they just seem to take to things, like we've all seen people like this. We know what it looks like when some 3-year-old sits down at the piano and just starts to play and they carry that through a lifetime and they're incredible. There's some kind of God-given skill involved there. And I love that the Lord actually bestowed on them this ability. And he bestowed on all of these other craftsmen as well the ability to do these kinds of things. I find it really fascinating. That doesn't mean for you and I that, you know, God has given me some equal but maybe different skill level in something. It doesn't mean that, you know, I've been ordained to be good at this or at that or anything like that. But it does mean that there's the ability for the Lord to give me that skill. Do you see the difference there? Is it's not just that the Lord will give the skill, but he can, and he does. And I think that's the key. The Lord can, and he does give skill to certain people for certain tasks that aren't just, you know, in ministry. I mean, he gave them all of these skills at very difficult tasks. I mean, casting things is very difficult. You've got to, you know, make the molds and then bed them in sand and then melt the metal and smelt it right and pour it in and make sure your casting's good and then clean it up and do all the finish work. That's a lot of very difficult work that I find very fascinating. I've never done it. I'm sure I wouldn't be any good at it, but I'm amazed that the Lord gave them this ability. What that means for us is, and again, I want to make it clear that it doesn't mean that, you know, we just need to find where we've been skilled to that level by the Lord, because it doesn't mean that the Lord is going to give every single person some equal level of skill. What it does mean is that it's available to us. And if the Lord can do it for them, Again, it doesn't mean just by nature he's given it to us, but we can ask. We can ask. If there's something you want to be good at, then you want to give yourself to it. You want to practice it. You want to do it. You want to get really good at it. But you can also ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, will you give me skill in this? Because it's available. It's absolutely available. And all we have to do is ask. Let's move on. Verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it is to be put to death. Those of you who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days' work is done, but the seventh day is a day of Sabbath rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrate it for its generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." This passage is still interesting, but a little bit more troubling. Because here the Lord says that the Sabbath is really important. I mean, so important that anyone who desecrates, I don't think it just means anyone who forgets and is doing a little work or does this or does that should be put to death. But anyone who really makes a mockery of the Sabbath should be put to death. Now, I don't believe that applies to Gentiles and the modern era. I think we're looking at the nation of Israel, and there's a lot of nuance to that. But the Lord is making a point here that he takes it very seriously. And what I mean is there's no death penalty in the United States for desecrating the Sabbath. So we're not going to be put to death by the state for not doing this. But the point again is the Lord takes this incredibly seriously. The Sabbath is a very serious thing to him. And he says that it's going to be that way forever, not for the rest of time, but for all eternity as a memorial to how the Lord created the universe in which we live. And so, you know, that's a really powerful, weighty thing is how do we, in our modern context, especially if we're Gentile Christians that aren't really given to thinking about maybe the Sabbath so much, how do we observe that? How do we honor this in a way that's honoring to the Lord? I think for the most part, in most Americans' lives, at least in the West, we get 2 days off a week from work. Most people, not everybody, but a lot of people get the weekend off or some version of the weekend, 2 days a week off. And observing the Sabbath in that way it's not so difficult for us. It's almost really embedded into our culture. It's really kind of nowadays we work 5 days at a job or however you do that. If you're self-employed, you may work 7 days a week, and that's where difficulties come in. But if you work 5 days a week at a job, maybe you do house projects or things like that on a Saturday, so you're kind of working at home, and then Sunday or whatever you rest, or maybe vice versa, those kinds of things. There's always activities and stuff like that, but at least you get a day off of work to recoup. If you're self-employed or your business owner, you're more likely to tend toward overworking yourself and working a whole lot more than you would if you're a 5 day a week employee. And that's when things get a little tricky, is then you feel like you're on the clock 7 days a week and you actually have to be intentional about not working. I've known many people, they literally work 7 days a week so they can make ends meet or make extra money so they could retire early. And it just destroys people. It absolutely wears you out. We need that rest. We need that rest. The Pharisees and the people, they came up with so many extra regulations, especially regarding the Sabbath, on what constitute work and what doesn't constitute work. And when Jesus came along, he kind of thumbed his nose at a lot of that. He didn't ever dishonor the Sabbath, but he made the point that the Sabbath was made for man to rest, not for God. God didn't need the rest. God doesn't need us to rest. Like, it doesn't do anything for God for us to rest. The Sabbath was made for man. And so having all of these rules and regulations that actually make it really a pain to make sure, am I doing this? Am I not doing this? You know, am I doing everything right? That doesn't make any sense. And so using the Sabbath to regenerate ourselves and recuperate, that's the point of the Sabbath. That's the power in it. And so I think it's very helpful for us to take this passage seriously and incorporate some very intentional rest into our lives. One day a week where we're not trying to get a lot of house projects done, or not filling in that last little bit of work or for ourselves. We're just turning it all off. And not even necessarily, people say, well, you're supposed to turn it all off and focus on God. I don't think that's the case. The Lord never, ever says that anywhere in the Bible. That's not what the Sabbath is for. It's not a day off of work, 6 days of work, then we focus on the Lord. No, we're supposed to focus on the Lord 7 days a week. That never stops. That never changes. The Sabbath is for rest for us. Now, we use the Sabbath in our culture, and in most Western societies, we've almost kind of shifted the Sabbath to Sunday. Even the Sabbath technically is Saturday. We've kind of made Sunday our Sabbath in America to some extent. And so, it just goes with our culture that we go to church on that day. And that just seems to be kind of how we think about things. But again, really thinking about God, giving ourselves wholly to God, is not a 1 day a week or a 1 hour a week activity. It's 24/7. We don't get a break from that. We don't rest from that. We rest from work. So the Sabbath is about not working. Not about focusing on God, but about not working. I think I really want to make that clear, because it is so ingrained in our culture that time away from work is when we're supposed to focus on God. I just want to double down on this. That is not when we're supposed to focus on God. We're supposed to focus on God. The Bible makes this clear throughout all its pages, is that we focus on God all the time. We give everything we do, every bit of work, every bit of leisure, every home project, which I've been frustrated to no ends with here recently. We're supposed to give all of those things to God all the time, every day, 24/7, night and day. Everything we do unto the Lord, not just our church services that we go to. That's a big distinction for many Americans. That's a radical shift in thinking, but it is actually exactly how the Lord wants us to think about it. The Sabbath is not for focusing on God. It's for resting from work. Let's finish this chapter. Verse 18, when the Lord finished speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two tablets of the covenant law, the tablets of stone inscribed by the finger of God. I mean, how cool is that? He's got these two stone tablets, and the Lord is actually, with his finger, come into physical contact. Whatever that looks like, he's come into contact with these things. How amazing must it have been for Moses to have held those things? They're not going to last long, unfortunately. They're not going to last long at all, but how cool to have held them for a short, brief period of time. Well, that's all we have for today. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. I'll see you next time.